Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Morning, and welcome to worship at High Street. Especially if you're here for the first time or visiting us again, we're pleased to see you all, everyone. You're warmly invited to join us for refreshments after the service out in the coffee bar. This week we have some good news. We congratulate Mim and Alex Grote on the birth of baby Ottilie Mabel, a second granddaughter for Val Donoghue, who I'm sure we also congratulate. A reminder that the Dorcas project for knitted squares, where we are going to make lap blankets for our friends in residential care or confined to their homes, is coming to an end. So please, if you have any knitted squares or you've got one to finish off, could you please finish them off this week and bring them to church next Sunday, the 1st of June, so that they can start to be sewn into blankets. Thank you. As usual, there'll be prayer available to everyone under the stained glass window, and everyone is encouraged to take this opportunity to talk to God about whatever's on your heart. It might be something you want to celebrate or something that's perhaps worrying you at the moment. There's a particular need at the moment. Please do take this opportunity, and the people with the blue lanyards will be there to help you. So this morning we're very pleased to welcome back Margaret Broadbury to lead our service. Been a little while since you've been here, I think, Margaret, so that's good news. Thank you for doing that. And our reader this morning will be Mike Limmer. So shall we have a word of prayer before our worship begins? Living God, through this time of worship, touch our being in every part. Our attitudes, relationships, thoughts, words and deeds. The way we respond to you and others. The way we love and live. Teach us, in childlike humility, to value all, respect all, and work for the good of all, recognizing that everyone you have made is precious to you, the work of your hands, with a special place in your heart. Reach out now and put your spirit within us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here with you again. I think it's possibly this time last year that I was here last, but I am so pleased to be here with you all. So shall we start with a prayer of approach? Everlasting God, one who knows all things, we gather together to bring you praise. We gather as your people, knowing that we are often guilty of thinking we know and can do all things. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to learn afresh today to follow you, even into the unexpected and uncomfortable places. Amen. And we're going to sing again this morning. The first song is number 14, Singing the Faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So either stand if you can or remain seated.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.
As we continue our praise and adoration of God, we will say some prayers together. I'll say the prayer of adoration and thanksgiving, and then we will say the Lord's Prayer, which will be followed by the offering prayer and a prayer for the young people. Excuse me. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, source of every blessing, we worship and adore you and bless your holy name. We praise you as you revealed yourself in our Lord Jesus Christ and have shown us how we should live our lives, reflecting your love for all people. We give thanks that through Jesus, when we have faith, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us in our journey with you. As we worship you today, prepare us for the week ahead and use us as your willing servants where there is need. Lord, we are in awe of your creation, but are also aware that we have not cared for it, and now people are suffering, as we have only thought of ourselves and not how it affects others. Forgive us, Lord, and although the problems seem overwhelming, guide us in ways so that we can play our part as caretakers of this world. Let us praise the Lord and serve him as our master and friend. Amen. And shall we say together the prayer that Jesus has taught us? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. And now a prayer of offering. We bring our prayers in different ways now, but however they are received, we pray that they will be used wisely in your name. We also bring ourselves and pray that this week we will find opportunities to serve you using the gifts and skills that you have given us. Amen. And so the young people are now going to their session. So a prayer for them today. As our young people leave to go to their own session, we are thankful to have them as part of our church family. We pray for those who are using their talents to enable our youngsters to learn of you, Lord, and your love for us all. Amen. Have a good time. And so we're going to sing again. It's hymn number 86. Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. One of the lectionary readings for today is Psalm 67. And this psalm recalls Aaron's blessing, which is found in Numbers, and we often use it in times of worship. It says, "As we look to the face of God for grace, mercy, and peace, we see the light shining to guide every nation into making the earth productive for all." And this morning, I thought we would say it responsively, all together. So if you can make out, I will be reading the light type and you the bold type, please. So Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the people praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the patience of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. We're now going to have the lectionary reading as well for today, one of them, Acts 9 to 15. I haven't put what it is. Acts 16, isn't it? 9 to 15. And Mike's going to come and read it to us. Thank you.
Acts chapter 16, verses 9 to 15. During the night, a vision came to Paul. A Macedonian stood there, appealing to him, "Cross over to Macedonia and help us." As soon as he had seen this vision, we set about getting a passage to Macedonia, convinced that God had called us to take the good news there. We sailed from Troas and made a straight run to Samothrace, the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, a leading city in that district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. Here we stayed for some days, and on the Sabbath we went outside the city gate by the riverside, where we thought there would be a place of prayer. We sat down and talked to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was called Lydia, a dealer in purple fabric, who came from the city of Thyatira. She was a worshipper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to what Paul said. She was baptized, and her household with her. And then she urged us, "Now that you have accepted me as a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she insisted on our going. Thanks be to God for his word.
I know hardly anything about football. You might be surprised to know. But this week, I saw on TV the results of the football match that took place in Bilbao. Any fans here that were happy or sad that day? My step-grandson, who's now grown up, had to have a partial amputation when he was quite a little boy. But he was so excited as an older football-playing lad, a Man United logo was put on his prosthesis, and he loved to them just wear his shorts. I actually thought Man United was still top players, but clearly not. One look at the faces of the players told me that for Man United, things did not go to plan this week. as I think I understand, in many other weeks over the last year. In the reading we had, of course, Paul and his team had a plan. But clearly that did not go well either. We are not given details of how or why they were prevented by the Holy Spirit in continuing on their path, but Paul, on his second missionary journey, when he wanted to go and visit all the churches that on his first journey he had planted, and then perhaps go on to make some new churches somewhere. And he started off going the way he wanted to go and visited some churches. And it seems like he was right down at here, and then sort of 200 miles up there was where else he wanted to go. And then he had an idea of going into Asia Minor. And he tried. But whichever way he was going, he was prevented from doing so. And lastly, the only option he had to do was to go to Troas, which was on the coast and actually is in Asia Minor. And it was there that Paul had this vision. It says in the sort of the Bible I was reading, it was a vision, but it could have been a dream because it was at night time. But whatever, it was so clear to Paul that he now knew exactly where the Spirit was telling him to do and go. And he took no time in making plans to cross the Aegean Sea via Samothrace, an island there. Interestingly, anybody who was really listening most clearly and carefully might have noticed it changed from us to we, because it's thought through different scholars that possibly Luke, the writer of the Gospel and Acts, was there then, because it, suddenly the narrative changes and becomes we. So the team made their plans quickly and off they went. It is there that they met Lydia. Now, don't you think it's strange that actually it was a man in Macedonia that was in Paul's dream or vision, but clearly it was a woman he met. Because on the Sabbath, Paul and his companions go out of the city gates to where the river was and where they expected to find a place of prayer. Now, Philippi was a Roman colony, and the authorities only allowed recognized religious groups within the city. And we assume there must have been some Jewish people there because Lydia had heard about God. But it was probable that there were not enough people, because apparently you had to have 12 Jewish men to actually be able to set up a synagogue. And so we meet Lydia. Now, Lydia was a spiritual woman, and in a place like Philippi, there would have been many gods to worship. But Lydia had come to know about the God of the Jews, and so would meet with other like-minded people each Sabbath. I imagine her listening to the reading and the teaching, as was the custom in the synagogues, where a visiting teacher would come and read from the scroll and then sit down and teach. The story of Lydia, who was a wealthy businesswoman and responsible for her household is interesting, I think. She'd moved from Thyatira from a place actually called Lydia, where purple dye was the local industry, which she now sold in Philippi, where I imagine as an important, busy coastal town with people travelling through it and going to different places. It was a good place to sell this costly dye. It is a lovely story. But what does this passage have to say to each of us today? We see the working of the Holy Spirit first with Paul's travel plans. As I said, he wanted to go back to the churches he had started, and it was a good plan, wasn't it? Strengthen those churches and then moving on to other places. But through the Holy Spirit, however, they were led to Troas, where Paul had his vision. Luke, in his gospel, says, "We concluded that God had called us to preach the gospel in Macedonia." I think that is a lovely saying. We concluded that God had called us to preach the gospel in Macedonia. Very human. It sounds as though they probably then had a good discussion and I'm sure prayed about it until they were confident that that was indeed what they were being asked to do. And possibly at that time, the Holy Spirit was also at work in Lydia, as Luke also records. She was a worshipper of God, someone who Tom Wright says had been praying, seeking God. Through her need to learn more about God, the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul. I also love Luke's words that the Lord opened her heart to respond to God's message through Paul. The Lord opened her heart to respond to God's message. Lydia was already seeking answers, and when Paul came, she then heard the gospel news. And my, did she respond to this news that she had heard. Remember, before she would have heard the what we call the Old Testament scriptures, but now she was learning about Jesus Christ. So she and all her household were baptized. And further then, she realized that she actually got a big house and she was wealthy. And it came to her that Paul and his companions would more easily be able to establish a church if resident with her. And this, of course, is the good news for us that happened, because Lydia was the first person in Europe to become a Christian and to host the first European church. And actually, Lydia is revered as a saint by Catholic, Orthodox, and Protestant traditions. And the 3rd of August, which is my grandson's birthday, is in the Catholic Church her feast day. Through the example of Paul and his companions, and the way Lydia sought answers about the God of the Jews, we can see quite clearly the working of the Holy Spirit. But the one thing that stands out to me is how the Holy Spirit can therefore work in us. When I was working full time, it first came to me that I was being called to be a local preacher. Life, though, was busy. My work meant I had to travel quite a bit every day, and evenings often spent preparing lectures and marking, etc. And so, frankly, I did not have the time. I'm sure you probably know it, but I realize it, that God is nothing if not patient. And through the Holy Spirit, he guided my life as I was given small steps to achieve and a church family to support me. And finally, I really listened. As a person who had grown up in the church, I actually considered that this was the point when I truly gave myself to Christ. It is in John 14 that Jesus promises that there will be another advocate, the Holy Spirit, to help us, sent by God, who will live in us and with us, who will teach us and remind us of Jesus' words. In our reading today, we have had the example of the workings of the Holy Spirit. God saw the potential in Lydia, who was open to responding to God, even if she knew very little about him. And through the Holy Spirit, Paul came, and she heard the gospel news and was baptized with all her household. And she recognized that she was able to do these practical things that would strengthen and grow the first church in Europe. As we read in Psalm 67, the theme wrote about the joy that would come from spreading the news about God around the world. Through the graciousness of God, would be his salvation for us would be known among all nations. As Paul, we might have a clear idea of what God wants us to do, but it might be others that can see in us the skills and talents that we do not recognize. So, the Holy Spirit still opens our minds if we but listen. Pray that the Spirit will open your mind to understand and to lead you to the needed insight to put God's word into action in your life. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we confess that we often think we know best. We busily go our way. We are so sure we know what we must do in our personal life and within our church family. Lord, we pray for listening ears, that we listen and respond to your Holy Spirit to follow the path you would lead us down. We pray that we will be open to opportunities where we can enable others to learn more about you and not just walk away when they call, feeling ourselves unable to help. Help us to listen and know that, as you promised, we will be given the words and skills needed through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I know that this is something that you've done before, but we are going to combine the next song and our prayers. And the song we're going to sing, for which please all do remain seated, is longing for light, we wait in darkness. Longing for truth, we turn to you. And Jane is going to join me at this time. And after each verse and chorus, there will be a prayer. And at the end of the prayer, there will be an amen. And then we will sing the next verse. So please do remain seated. Okay. You need to be mild, do you? Oh, it's me first. Lord, we do indeed turn to you to bring light into the darkness. We pray for your church in this country and in the world. We freely come to church and are able to profess that we are followers of Jesus. But in many other places, people gather in secret as they seek your truth. People are persecuted because they love you. We pray that throughout this world, people come to know and believe your gospel of love for all our neighbours near and far. We pray indeed for your light and truth in our dark world. Amen.
Yes, Lord, our world is very troubled. What must you feel as you watch nation warring against nation? Such destruction, so little compassion or mercy. We bring before you especially this morning Gaza and Israel. We bring before you Ukraine and Russia. We bring before you, too, people of all ages across the world whose minds and hearts are troubled right now. Young children, teenagers, adults and elderly who so need your peace in these uncertain times. We join with you, Prince of Peace, longing for peace, lasting peace. We join with you, God of all hope, longing for a glimmer of hope in the lives of so many desperate, grieving, frightened people across the world. Amen.
Gracious God, you have given us a world where there should be enough food and water to sustain everyone. In our own country, we see many are needing to use food banks. 4.5 million children are said to be living in poverty. We pray that those in authority will lead with compassion and wisdom to overcome this seemingly worsening problem. Throughout the world today, many children are not able to eat food regularly because of famine, war, or greediness of others. Children die every day from malnutrition and contaminated water. We pray that conditions will improve for those who are able to use their skills effectively. And Lord, help us to be wise in the food we buy, to not waste food, and to support those who work to enable others to have enough food and clean water to drink. Amen.
Jesus, Lord of compassion, you long like a mother hen to gather your people under the protective shelter of your wing. We join with you, praying for those who have no place to call home. For people displaced by war, politics, religion, famine, and fear. We think of refugees and asylum seekers. We think of the homeless here in the streets of our country, here in our own town. We pray for victims of domestic violence, where home isn't a safe place, isn't home. We pray for all to find a home, a haven, a resting place in you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Lord, we pray today for the many skills and talents that we can see around us. For those perhaps who do not realize just what they could do for the Lord in this place and in their home lives and with the neighbors and friends around them. We pray for those who work on the problems that we have highlighted today. And we pray for the peacemakers desperately needed in this dark world. We pray for those who care for others in this country and all over the world. And we pray for the people who have been our influences in our lives. Those who have guided us in our faith. And for friends and neighbours who show us love and care. We pray for those we know who are ill. And those who are troubled. And in silence, bring to your minds those people known to you who need love and care from God. May all those people that we have brought to you in our prayers feel your healing hands encircling them in love. We pray for those who have been bereaved. May they know the comfort of the Holy Spirit at this time. Lord, help us all to take every opportunity to do as Jesus taught us, to love and serve God and love our neighbours as ourselves. We all ask all these things in Jesus Christ, our Lord's name. Amen. And now we are going to sing again, hymn 489. hymn is in a section in Singing the Faith called Growth in Grace and Holiness. And in verse 2, it says, we all sang, Now My Heart's Desire is to Know You More. I think it's particularly relevant because to know Jesus more, we can turn to the Holy Spirit given to us through Jesus to be our helper, guide, and counselor. And as we mentioned earlier, as we read Psalm 67, Aaron's blessing was sent by God for the Israelites, which you can find in number 6. And so I thought it was quite relevant for us all to say this together as we bless one another today. So shall we all say this together? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord give his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.